When we look at Yom Tovim, so very often we try to find the theme for Yom Tov. And I want to talk about the theme of Pesach, which I think you'll realize right away is the theme of life. And it's a theme that really begins from the beginning of Nisan. The Boyana Rebbe Shlita quotes from one of the earlier Boyana Rebbes, the Rebbe of Boyan Chernovitz, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. And he has a very cute play on the famous line from Maseches Tanis Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. It's cute, but it's very deep. So don't lose the depth and the cuteness of it. He says, we know the very famous statement in Maseches Tanis, Chav Tes Amud Aleph, Mishenichlas Adar Marben B'Simcha. And that's already built off of Mishenichlas Av Mematin B'Simcha. In the month of Av, there's a sadness that descends on Klal Yisrael. In Adar, there's a great joy that descends on Klal Yisrael. But the Boyana Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, went a step further. And he said, Kishem, just as Mishenichlas Adar Marben B'Simcha, so too Mishenichlas Nisan Marben B'Emuna. When Chodesh Nisan arrives, we increase the Emuna. It's a cute play on that famous Gemara in Maseches Tanis. But it's a very, very true statement, and it really captures the entire essence of Chodesh Nisan, and of course the highlight of Nisan, the Yom Tov of Pesach. Now when we talk about a theme for Yom Tov, there's actually two Yom Tovim that correspond to the theme of Emunah. Of the big three, of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, two of them are very much rooted in Emunah. Pesach is the Yom Tov of Emunah, Shavuos obviously is the Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satorah, and Sukkot is also a Yom Tov of Emunah. So what's really the difference between the Emunah of Pesach and the Emunah of Sukkot? So there's a series of Svarim by Rav Chanoch Henoch Karlenstein. He was a young Talmud Chacham who passed away. And in his Kuntres, it's called Kuntres, it's the names of the volumes, the Kuntres Binyanei Sukkot and Simchas Torah, on page 23, he says, I'll tell you the key difference between the Emunah of Pesach and the Emunah of Sukkot. And it's outward versus inward. On Sukkot, Klal Yisrael are being charged with teaching Emunah to the world. That's what the message of the theme of Sukkot is. How can we, as the believers of God, welcome back. Wow. Chashev. So special. Nice to have you here. When did you get back?
Yesterday.
Very nice. Welcome. Take us back to Eretz Yisrael with you. On Sukkot, we're teaching Emunah to the world. What does it mean to teach Emunah to the world? What does it mean to teach Emunah to the world? It means that we go outside with our sukkah. I set up my hut. Sometimes it's on my property for the world to see. Sometimes it's even off my property. The Magen Avraham has a very interesting thing. He writes in his comments on the Shulchan Aruch in Tuf Reish Lamed Zayin, which are the laws of building a sukkah. He writes in Sifkat and Gimel that, you know, you sometimes find that Jews build their sukkahs wherever they want. In certain areas, the Jews take over the streets. They don't necessarily have permission from the local authorities. And they go out into the street. And he questions whether or not that's a permissible sukkah. Is it a kosher sukkah? What right do you have to build your sukkah on some street corner in New York City? If you have a permit, it's one thing. But he questions whether or not that's appropriate. But the Bnei Yisrael, one of the great Hasidic masters, in his writings on Tishrei, in Maimer Yud, he defends the practice. He says very often you do see Jews putting their sukkahs in the streets, putting their sukkahs in public areas, without permission. Why is that so? Because that's the theme of sukkahs. The theme of sukkahs is, how can I bring Emunah to the streets? How can I teach the world that there's a God? How can I explain to the world that when we left Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for us, when we were in a desert, surrounded by enemies, and we were not very well equipped to defend ourselves, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounded us with Anani HaKavod, or even according to the opinion, Sukkos Mamish, they lived in little huts, and yet Hashem watched over us, and the world took note of the fact that we had a God. On Sukkot, we bring 70 part. We bring 70 animals, karbanos, over the course of Sukkot. And the obvious explanation being that the 70 parim correspond to the 70 nations of the world. Because we're sensitive to trying to teach godliness to the world. That's the theme of sukkah, of Sukkot. The sukkah itself, the structure of the sukkah itself, also hints to this idea. Rabbeinu Bechaya wrote a Jewish encyclopedia called the Kara Kemach. And in his entry for the sukkah, he says an amazing thing. He says, what's the minimum shear, the minimum measure for a wall of a sukkah? It has to be 7 by 10. Right? 7 tvachim by 10 tvachim. 7 by 10, that means each wall of the sukkah is made up of 70 tvachim, at the very least. Again, the number 70 hinting to the 70 nations of the world. The sukkah is our way of teaching the entire universe that there's a God in heaven. That's the theme of sukkahs. But we're holding by Pesach. What's the theme of Pesach? Also Emunah. But it's an internal Emunah. It's an Emunah where we lock ourselves in our homes in an almost very literal sense. Right? When Makkos Bechoros was taking place and the Jews were told, don't you dare step out into the street. It doesn't matter what's happening in the street. This is a night for you and your family to develop internally your belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Vehigadat HaLevincha. It's much more family oriented. It's a parent teaching a child the idea that there's a Rabbono Shalom. A parent teaching a grandchild, Leman Tesaper Ba'ozne Bincha Uben Bincha, to teach each child according to his level. Right? Arba Banim, can I get Arba Banim Dibra Torah? Each child according to his own level that there's a Rabbono Shalom. And we talk about Emunah, that's the theme of Pesach. Ask questions. It's a question and answer format. We'll explain anything and everything that we can. It's a night to develop a clear and absolute awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that each child should walk away, and the child inside of each of us as we become adults should walk away from the Seder feeling that we have an absolute clarity in our Borei Olam. But the truth is, you can only transmit Emunah if you have it yourself. A person has to spend time getting ready for the Pesach Seder. And I think that's what the Boyana Rebbe was saying. Kishem, just as when Adar arrives from the beginning of Adar, already starting to feel the Simcha of Purim, Kach mishenichlas Nisan marbim be'emunah. From the beginning of Nisan, we have to start thinking about Emunah. To prepare ourselves that when we come to the Seder, whether we're transmitting it to our children, if we're in that stage in life, or if we're a child receiving from a parent, or if we're transmitting it to our family. Right? It's a very internal type of night, where families get together, they close the doors, and they talk about Inyanei Emunah. Each person according to his own level. To work on transmitting something internally. But you have to have it to transmit it. Like it says over and over in Pirkei Avos, Hu Haya Omer. What does it mean when it says Hu Haya Omer? Hu Haya Omer means Hu Haya, he was it, and therefore Omer, therefore you can talk about it. By the time you come to the city, you have to have a sense of what it means, what do I believe in. And then I'm able to begin to continue that conversation with my family, to teach it to our children, God willing, in the right time, to spread that Emunah, not again to the entire universe, but to Klal Yisrael, to make sure Klal Yisrael has a clear and healthy identity and awareness of a Kadosh Baruch. There's a beautiful story. Rav Volbi, the great Mashkiach, one time went to visit his Rebbe, Rav Chatzko Levenstein, the great Mashkiach from here. Rav Volbi came in, and he sat down with Rav Chatzko, and he was talking about a particular student who was having a difficult time having a positive hashpan. And Rav Chatzko gave Rav Volbi some Eitzah. He gave him advice how to deal with this particular troubled student. And then Rav Shlomo Volbi got up to leave. And as he's walking towards the door, Rav Chatzko Levenstein, his Rebbe, calls him and he says, Rav Shlomo, I want to ask you something. He says, tell me, do you believe that there's a creator to the world? And Rav Volbi was caught very much off guard. He said, yeah, my Rebbe, of course I believe that there's a creator to the world. So he says, okay, good, good, good. And he lets him go. He starts to walk out the door again. And he calls him back and says, Rav Volbi, one question. Come back one second. Do you really believe that God created the world? And at this point, Rav Volbi's like, he's all confused. I think the correct answer is yes, but so he says, yeah, I believe. I believe that God created the world. I believe in the Rabbono Shalom. I believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Chatzko looks at him with a very penetrating glare, and he says to him, good, then go tell that to your students. Go teach that to your Talmidim. And with that, he sent him on his way. And Rav Volbi was very confused. What did he mean? What did my Rebbe mean? Do you believe in Hashem? If you believe in Hashem, go tell it to your students. What do you think I've been doing? I came to you because I've been trying to transmit it to my student, and I'm not being successful. I'm asking for better advice. And Rav Volbi said for weeks, he didn't understand what his Rebbe meant. And then finally it clicked. He said, what my Rebbe was telling me was that if I believe it, if it's deep by me, then when I transmit it to my students, they'll believe it as well. And if my students aren't being makabel, it's because I don't have it. It's because it's not as deep as it needs to be by me. Mishenichlas Nisan marbim be'emunah. When Nisan arrives, we begin this process of deepening our emunah to then be able to transfer it and to transmit it to somebody else. But we know there's a famous yesod. It's really found in Kabbalistic sources. Sefer Yetzirah is the earliest source. And it's developed by Sefer Machshava and Sefer Chasidus. That everything in the world exists in three dimensions. The way it's described in the Sefer Yetzirah is Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. What does that mean, Olam, Shana, and Nefesh? These three dimensions that are all operating hand in hand. Olam means a place in the world. An Olam, a place in the world. And for every place in the world, there's a corresponding Shana. Shana means the calendar year. There's a time that corresponds to that place. And then there's a Nefesh, there's a person, there's a spiritual individual who's the living embodiment of that place and of that time. It's a concept that you find very often in Sefer Chasidus. I'll give you one example, a very clear example, from the Sefer Arvei Nachal. He says a beautiful, clear example of this is Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you have, so to speak, the holiest day. and you have the holiest place, the Kodesh Kadashim, and you have, if we could say such a thing, the holiest Jew, the Kohen Gadol, and you have all three of these worlds colliding. You have the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur, the holiest Jew in the holiest place on the holiest day. So I want to explore together, for the time that we have today, if Nisan is the Zman of Amuna, if Nisan is Amuna in time, so who's Amuna in a person? And what can that teach us about Pesach? Who is the Nefesh, so to speak, the living embodiment, the person who represents Amuna the same way that Nisan, Mishenechnas Nisan, Marben Be'amuna? And I think the answer should be very easy to figure it out. Nisan, we know, is the beginning of the calendar year. When the Torah describes the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, Torah tells us, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim Rishon Hu Lachem L'chad She'ashana. Nisan is the Rosh, it's the starting point of the Jewish calendar. Rishon Hu Lachem, right? It's Rosh, it's Rishon. And therefore, to figure out who's the embodiment, who's the physical embodiment, who's the person of Nisan, the answer becomes very obvious. It's Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu is the Rosh. The same way that Nisan is the beginning of time, so to speak, Avram is the beginning of Jewish people. He's the first, so to speak, self-proclaimed Jew. And therefore, it's very interesting. If you look in the Torah, the son of the Rosh, the Arba Turim, if you look in the Torah, in his writings by Rosh Chodesh, in chapter 417 of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Torah, right, according to the same arrangement of the Shulchan Aruch, the predecessor of the Shulchan Aruch, in Taf Yud Zayin, chapter 417, he quotes his brother. And he says, the three holidays, the three regalim correspond to the three avos. Yitzchak corresponds to Shavuos. Yaakov corresponds to Sukkos. And of course, Avraham, being the Ish Amuna, the one who found the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Rosh of Klal Yisrael, the starting point of Jewish people, is the one who corresponds to Pesach. And he brings a very interesting proof. Remember when Avram was visited by his very special guests, the angels described as, disguised as Arabs, and he put together a whole beautiful meal for them, and he told Sarah, Lushi vasi ugos, make ugos, bake some bread, bake some cakes. So says the brother of the Torah, and say Chazal, that's a reference to matzah. This incident took place in Nisan, and Avram told Sarah, let's go bake some matzah for our special guest. Avram is the personality that corresponds to Pesach. Not only the matzah, but the carbon Pesach. In an even earlier source, in a Medrash Tanchuma, the Medrash says, because Avram turned to his guests, and what did he say to them? Yukach na ma'at mayim, please take a little bit of water. He used the magic word na, which in that context means please. So says the Medrash Tanchuma, very strange, in Parshas Vayera, because Avram said, Yukach na ma'at mayim, please take a little bit of water, he was zoche, he earned the mitzvah of what? Of Karban Pesach. Because by the Karban Pesach it says, Al tochlu mimenu na. Don't eat it na. Now it doesn't mean don't eat it please, it means don't eat it raw. But because Avram said na, he was zoche to Karban Pesach, which is also called na. So Avram is the personality of Pesach. Unfortunately, we don't have Karban Pesach. But we do have the matzah. We do have the matzah, the lushi va'asi ugos, the matzahs that Avram and Sarah were baking. And if you think about matzah, you look at the language of the Zohar Kadosh, when the Zohar describes what matzah is all about. The Yom Tov that we often refer to in our language as Pesach, the Torah calls Chag HaMatzos, the holiday of matzah. What a special opportunity to eat the matzah. The Zohar refers to the matzah as the Mechla de Mehamnusa, the food of faith. It's the food of Amuna, corresponding to Chodesh Nisan, corresponding to Avram Avinu. In the article biography of Rav Chatzko Levenstein, the great Mashkiach, on page 49, it brings that Rav Chatzko used to tell us Talmidim. It's so beautiful. You should go take the book out of the library, photocopy this page for yourself. Rav Chatzko was telling us Talmidim, you think on Pesach we eat matzah? That's for beginners. We don't eat matzah. On Pesach we eat Amuna. On Pesach we eat Amuna. We're ingesting Amuna. Kiviyachal, we're taking a piece. Rav Nassan of Breslov said it even stronger. He said, it's ki'ilu when you're holding a matzah, it's as if you're holding a Kodesh Baruch Hu in your hand. That's a strange thing. You know, the Christians have such a thing where they think they're eating, they eat a wafer, and it's the flesh of Yashka. Right, we don't have such, that's a perversion of this idea. But we believe that the matzah is the food of Amuna. When you eat matzah, it lifts you up. You become a different person. Just through the achila, through the eating of this holy matzah. And that's why, again, it's called the Chag HaMatzos. So we come to the Seder, and we take out our three matzos. Now, as kids, we grew up thinking that the three matzos also hint to something. Who does it hint to? What does it hint to? So again, we grew up thinking, three matzos, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. Or maybe we heard three matzahs, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. But I'll tell you an amazing thing. Because based on what we're saying, the three matzahs should all correspond to Avram. And in the Sefer Maisa Rokeach, which is a commentary on the Rambam, in Hilchos Chametu Matzah Perek Vav, he quotes from one of the Gaonim, Rav Shri Ragon. He says, you know what the three matzahs correspond to in Pesach? Avram, Avram, Avram. Each of the matzahs correspond to Avram. Because Avram turned to Sarah when they had those guests. And right before he said, Lushi Vasi Ugos, what did Avram say to Sarah? He told her, take for yourself Shalosh Se'im Kemach Solas. Take three saw, three measures of fine flour. Says the Maaser Rokeach, the name of Rav Shira Gaon, the three matzahs are Avram, Avram, Avram. The whole night is the night of Avram, the Yom Tov of Avram. And with this now, we've really come full circle. We said that Pesach corresponds to Avram, that was the Torah. The Torah lined up the three Avos with the three holidays. And matzah corresponds to Avram. And now we have to just stop and look at the life of Avram. What was Avram's life? It was all Emunah. Avram was the one who went out against the entire world and decided, I'm going to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was the one who the Medrash says saw the Bira Dolekes. He saw the palace, the Bira, the palace that was Dolekes, that was on fire. He saw a light on in the attic, so to speak. And he realized there has to be someone responsible for this. I want to read you a line from the Maharal of Prague. Maharal of Prague wrote a lot of Svarim. They're beautiful, beautiful Svarim. Maharal writes in his Sefer Gvuras Hashem, which is all about Yetzias Mitzrayim, he writes in Parak Zion the following. And I think it just hammers home our point, that if Nisan is the Rosh, if Nisan is the beginning of time, Avram is the beginning of Amunah when it comes to people. Maharal writes as follows. V'chein ro'ei la'avram. It makes sense. It's fitting that Avram should be the one to lead Klal Yisrael. B'mashah haya haschala la'uma Yisraelis. That Avram should be the backbone of the Jewish people. You know why? Roi shiyelo mitzias chazak yoser. It makes sense that Avram should have that firm foundation, the ability that a mitzias chazak yoser. Avram is more real than many other things. There are a lot of things we see in the world that we perceive to be real, but Avram was real, says the Maharal. Avram was really real. He was the foundation of the universe. He held up the world. He's the mitzias chazak yoser. Shebishvil ze huwa yisod vaschala. And because he's so strong, because of what he is, and he's so firm in what he is, he's the foundation of the Jewish people. So what is he? Says the Maharal, what was Avram? What was he so chazak about? Says the Maharal, V'chozek shelo hu, shaya chazak b'munaso, v'zeu hachozek shelo. The strength of Avram, the reason that Avram is the foundation of Klal Yisrael, the reason Avram is worthy of being Avram Avinu, is not because of the so many wonderful traits that he had. There's one trait that made Avram the foundation, made him the Rosh. That he's the personality who corresponds to Pesach, who corresponds to Nisan. He's the backbone of the Jewish people because he was Chazak b'munaso. U'mibneishay Chazak b'munaso, ha'imitziyuso yoser Chazak. Because Avram is so strong in his Emunah, his Mitzias is so real. When you have Emunah, you're real, you're alive. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first thing we ever heard from God, Emunah. That's life. That's reality, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu is real. That's why Chazal look at the pasuk at the beginning of Bereishis, and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the world. Behi Baram. What do Chazal say? Don't read the word Behi Baram. Move around the letters. Be'Avraham. Hashem created the world for Avraham. Hashem created the world for those who are going to believe. Uvishvil Kach says the Maharal Hayazoch Liyos Rosh Evan Pina V'Yesod HaKol. And therefore it was his Emunah that made Avraham worthy of being the foundation of the world. And of course, once Avram found the Kadosh Baruch Hu, after discovering this great discovery, this unusual discovery that no one else had recognized, he went out, he looked at the heavens, he looked at the world, he said, there must be a creator. The Stipler Gaon even brings a very beautiful remez in the back of his Sefer, the Birchas Peretz. He says, Avram's original name, Avram, Aleph Beis Reish Mem, is Rashi Tevos, Re'u Mi Bara Ela. The pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya says you should go outside on a beautiful night and look up at the heavens and see the stars and ask yourself, Ru'u, and see, Mi Bara Ela, who created all this? That's who Avram was. Avram, Aleph Beis Reish Mem, is Rashi Tevos, Ru'u Mi Bara Ela. The one who found the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he went out and he spread the word. He opened his tent on all four sides. He went out, he invited people into his home. The Gemara says in Maseches Sota and Daf Yoreh Mabez, the Medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram went out and he said, I want to spread the word. He invited people, he's put out these lavish meals. And people would get up after eating a delicious meal and say, thank you, Avram, wow, you're so generous. He said, don't thank me. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank the creator of the universe. Now the truth is, if you're listening carefully, you have a question on what I just said. Because I told you earlier from Rav Karlenstein that the difference between Sukkot and Pesach is what? Is that Pesach is when we turn inward. We focus on ourselves, we focus on our children. On Sukkot, we go out and try to be Makar of the world. So what's your question? Your question should be, if Avram corresponds to Pesach, so why is Avram so busy with outreach? Shouldn't he be building up his own home? Very good question, no? It's a significant question. Avram's personality is supposed to be Pesach. That's what the Torah said in the name of his brother. Avram corresponds to Pesach. Yaakov is Sukkot. Yaakov should be the one doing outreach. Why is it that Avram is involved in outreach? So I think you can give two answers. I think they're both true. One's more positive. One's a little bit more negative. And you'll see what I mean. I think the simple answer is that we learn an amazing thing from Avram Avinu. Yes, it's true. He was out and about. He was trying to be Makari of the world. But we know what it says about Avram and Sarah. It talks about the nefesh asher asu b'charan, the souls that they created, that they made in Charan. Avram and Sarah looked at every single person that they were reaching out to, way outside their Dalet Amos. They looked at it as their own child. And therefore, if Avram really is supposed to be Pesach, if Avram's v'higadata levincha, you learn about the way that Avram did Kiruv. Avram did Kiruv, he saw every single person that he was trying to teach about God, he saw them as a child. He saw them as his own child, and Sarah's own child. And therefore, in that sense, it was true to the notion of Pesach, the v'higadata levincha, teach your children. Avram saw the whole world as his children. That's a beautiful, beautiful lesson when it comes to reaching out to our fellow Jews and reaching out to the world around us. But I think the second answer might be more true, even though it's a lot more painful. We know what happened to all of Avram's converts. What happened to all of Avram's converts? I think what I'm telling you is a deep thing here. What happened to all of Avram's converts? What does Rashi say? They all went off the derech. When Avram was gone, when Avram was no longer alive, all of them went back to their old Avodah Zarah ways. And therefore, at the end of the day, after all those years, it's a painful thing to try to think about. After all those years of outreach, how successful was Avram? Who was he successful with? It was a total failure. Long term, in the moment, it was a great success. In the long run, it was a total failure. It didn't have a lasting kiyum. It wasn't meant to be. All of the people Avram was makariv, they all went back to their Avodah Zarah. Except for who? Except for his own son Yitzchak. So at the end of the day, look how Hashgacha Pratis had it work out. That Avram at the end of the day was true to Pesach. V'higadata levincha. The only one he truly inspired at the end of the day, unfortunately, was Yitzchak. He wasn't meant to be makariv of the world, and he wasn't makariv of the world. At the end of the day, he wasn't successful in being makariv of the world. But again, this is the world of Avram Avinu. This is the v'higadata levincha that we're all striving for on the Pesach night. A yom tov of Amuna, a yom tov of Yediyas Hashem. And now we come to the grand finale. Because as amazing as Pesach is, and Pesach has a lot of highlights along the way, whether the Seder is your favorite part, the beginning of Pesach, whether Chol HaMoed, you know, great adventures, that's a very important part of Pesach, right? But Shvi Shel Pesach, the end of Pesach, you're sort of building up to something. Mishenichnas Nisan Marbim Be'amuna. And as we go through Pesach, as we're ingesting more of the matzah, the mechla de memnusa, the food of Amuna, we're reaching higher and higher madrigos of Amuna. Until we come to that spectacular day, the tachlis of the Yom Tov, the pinnacle of the Yom Tov, the end, so to speak, of our crash course in Amuna, and that is Shvi Shel Pesach, the end of Pesach. A beautiful, beautiful day of Amuna. Let me explain. Medrash says in Parshas Bo that the seventh day of Pesach is the Shabbos of Pesach. What does it mean, seventh day of Pesach is the Shabbos of Pesach? A little bit of a cryptic statement in the Medrash Rabbah and Parshas Bo. So Sfasemis explains as follows. Sfasemis says, just like we have a Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday, and if a Jew is mindful, is thoughtful, you know that Sunday this is not the main thing, and Monday is not the main thing, and even that big bio test on Tuesday, that wasn't the main thing, as serious as that was, and Wednesday, that wasn't the main thing, and Thursday night, you know, I went out with some friends, we had a great time, but that wasn't the main thing. Friday, that wasn't the main thing, although the Kedusha of Erev Shabbos is a big thing. But you come to Shabbos, this is it. This is it. Now, this is the main thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world that you have the Sheshes Yimei HaMaaseh, the days of work, and you know that's not the main thing. Says the Sfas Emes in his writings on Pesach, in the years Tafresh Lamed Ches, again in Tafresh Mem Zayin. He says, a person goes through Pesach, and you're going through, and believe me, you're sitting at the Seder's a big thing. The Seder's a very big thing. You should read the letter, the Piyazetz Narebi, beautiful letter that he wrote to people, trying to give them a glimpse of what Pesach is. Picture yourself sitting in Gan Eden, and all of the angels coming to your home. Again, we don't have to go anywhere on Pesach. Emunah comes to us. It's all in the house. The whole heavenly spheres, everything comes down to spend Pesach with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, comes to join you in your bias on Pesach. An amazing, amazing thing. And yet, that's not the main thing. The first day, the first night of Pesach, as big as it is, that's not the main thing. Says the Medrash, the seventh day of Pesach is the Shabbos of Pesach. Explains the Sfas Emes. Sheshes yamim tochal matzos. It says in Devarim, in Parshas Re'eh, for 6 days you should eat matzah. And what's the end of the pasuk? Uvayom ha-shvi atzeres. For 6 days. Now, just bear in mind, somewhere else in the Torah it says for 7 days you should eat matzah. Gemara has to deal with that question. 6 days matzah, 7 days matzah. Right? But the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh says, for 6 days you shall eat matzah. Because the 6 days of matzah, as big as they are, compared to the seventh day, it's almost like the days of the week. Not to, God forbid, take away from the Kedusha of Pesach. But it doesn't compare to that seventh day of Pesach, the Shabbos of Pesach. It says the Sfas Emes, when you come to the Shabbos of Pesach, then you start to understand what Pesach is all about. What happened on Shvi Shel Pesach? What's the pinnacle, so to speak, this awesome peak at the end of Pesach that we're waiting for? The Seder is amazing. Yom Tov is amazing. Chol Hamoed is amazing. But what are we waiting for? What happened on the seventh day? Kriyas Yamsuf and Oz Yashir. And Kriyas Yamsuf and Oz Yashir are in many ways the greatest expression of Emunah, more so than everything else that we're experiencing over this Yom Tov of Emunah. I want to share with you a comment from the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is one of the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch. Writes a very amazing thing. It's in chapter 67 of the Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham Simen Samach Zayin, and he starts by quoting a Gemara in Brachos. We know that on a daily basis there's an obligation to remember Mitzrayim. Right, to have a zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember what it was like to be in Mitzrayim. Come in. We know you're supposed to remember Mitzrayim. On the Seder night, there's a special mitzvah of Sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to tell it as a story. There's differences between the nightly, right, and the daily remembrance of the zecher yitzias Mitzrayim, the hinting, the mentioning, the remembering, and the Sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. Chaim Brisker had a whole list of differences. But the Magen Avraham says an interesting thing. Again, on a daily basis, all you have to do is mention it. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Gemara in Brachos, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that says, let's say you just happen to be mentioning a halacha about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Does that count as Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? And the Magen Avraham says, yes, it does. You mentioned Mitzrayim. That's all you need to do. It doesn't have to be Shema, per se. It doesn't have to be in the context. You have to mention Mitzrayim. You were talking to your friend about Mitzrayim. You mentioned the halacha about Mitzrayim. You were reminiscing about what it must have been like to be Mitzrayim. That's Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Even if it's not in a tefillah format, per se. But then the Magen Avraham adds a big chiddush. Listen to this. V'nir Ali, D'kol shekeinim amar shivas hayam yatsa. All the more so if a person recites az yashir. That, for sure, is zeichel yitzias Mitzrayim. You mention az yashir, that is the greatest way of remembering yitzias Mitzrayim. And many of the achronim are all bent out of shape about this. How could that be? Who says? Why are you taking it for granted? Mentioning Az Yashir is automatically considered remembering leaving Mitzrayim. The Chassam Sofer attacks, and the Rabbi Kiva Eger attacks, and the Shulchan Aruch Harav. How do you know? Why do you say that? Why do you say that mentioning Az Yashir is the greatest expression of leaving Mitzrayim? So I saw that some defend the Magen Avraham as follows. They say the following. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, so we figure, okay, that's Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to talk about when they left Mitzrayim, right? Says the Magen Avraham, no. Because when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they hadn't yet experienced Yitzias Mitzrayim. When was the real Yitzias Mitzrayim? When was the salvation of the Jewish people? Pasuk says, "Vayosha Hashem bayom ahu es Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim." It was on that very day that the Jewish people experienced salvation. Explains the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. What happened on that day? When the Jews saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for them by the Yam, when Hashem provided for them by killing their enemies, and the Jews could finally really breathe a sincere sigh of relief that the Mitzrayim were gone. Vayosha Hashem bayom ahu. Yeah, they left Mitzrayim a bunch of days earlier, but the Mitzrayim were still chasing after them. They were trailing them. It was only when it was finally said and done by the Yam, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that's when they came to a place that was an experience, a moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's what inspired the Shira. That's really what Shira means. You know, we think Shira means song, which is true. Also true. But in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos, in Masechet Shabbos, it says that On Shabbos, a horse can go out with a shear. It doesn't mean you sing for your horse to follow after you on Shabbos. A shear means a chain around its neck. The Maharal explains the concept of shira. Think about it. The shira, a song, works in sort of like a chain, like a necklace that's worn around the neck. There's some type of circle that's being formed here. Something's coming full circle. You have a verse, and you have a chorus, and then a verse, and you go back to the chorus. Right? There's a certain pattern that's being followed. It's a nice package that has a beginning and a middle and an end, and it comes full circle. Says the Maharal of Prague, when Klal Yisrael were finally able to sing Az Yashir, that's when the Geula came full circle. That's when Klal Yisrael were really freed from Mitzrayim. And therefore, if you just mention Az Yashir, says the Magen Avraham, you have experienced a Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. But if this is it, if this is the pinnacle, if this is the Yom Tov of Amunah in the month of Amunah, and Avram is the personality of Amunah, and you're telling me, says the Sfas Emes, that the Shabbos, the seventh day of Pesach, is the heights of what Pesach is about, it's the heights of what Nisan is about, then it should be the heights of what Avram Avinu is about. It should be a day of great Amunah. And therefore we have to look one last time, we have to look again at Kriyas Yamsuf, and try to appreciate and try to find, where's the Amunah by Kriyas Yamsuf? Where's Avram Avinu by Kriyas Yamsuf? You have to remember, to think what it must have been like when the Jews were standing there by the Yam. They were trapped, they were surrounded, it was dark, it was scary. The Mitzrayim were ready to kill them. They had the Yam in front of them. They didn't know what to do with themselves. It was total panic. You know, we know the end of the story, so we read, oh, Kriyas Yamsuf, great. We know how it's going to work out. But when they were standing there, it was terrifying. This was it. This was the end of Klal Yisrael. All the work of Klal Yisrael being lost in those moments. They couldn't take it anymore. And they cried out, Hamibli ein kvarim b'mitzrayim. Moshe, you have to schlep us here, that we should die here. You have to schlep us here to be killed after all that. Imagine to finally get out of the gates, to see what's life, that there's a world outside of Mitzrayim. People were born in Mitzrayim. They spent their whole life. You had old Jews, old Bubbies and Zadies, finally leaving Mitzrayim, 95 years old. And now they come and they're surrounded, they're totally trapped. There's nowhere to go. Complete panic. And yet Klal Yisrael were saved. So what caused the Yam to split? So, we have to start with the Chumash. The Chumash says, Moshe stretched out his hand and the sea split. Okay. You know, we're used to the Midrashim when we're kids, but the Chumash says, Moshe stretched out his hand and the sea split. And the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a strong eastern wind. So if you want to talk about what really caused the actual splitting, it was the Ruach Kadim Azah. It was a strong eastern wind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent that actually caused the water to move aside. That's what you find in the Chumash. You look in the Midrash, some of the things that we grew up with, right? Nachshon jumps in the water, Mesiras Nefesh, there are other accounts of other people jumping in the water. Hayam Rav Ayanos, like we say in the Halal from Tehillim. Hayam Rav Ayanos, says the Medrash, what caused the sea to flee? What caused the sea to run? Says the Medrash, Arono Shel Yosef. It was the bones of Yosef that caused the sea to split. And you have another Medrash that says all sorts of strange, unusual Midrashim, different approaches, what caused the sea to split? There's even a Medrash that says, what caused the sea to split? Hayam Rav Ayanos. The sea saw something in it. It went running. What did it see? Says the Medrash, Braisa de Rabbi Yishmael. It saw the Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael. Yishmael is a long time after Kriyas Yamsuf. So what does that mean? And again, the Sfarim come up with, the Majlis Rebbe is a very clever and interesting explanation. But of all the opinions that we've heard over the years, there was a new opinion that I found last year for the first time, and I can't believe I never heard this before. And it's a very good authoritative Medrash, the Medrash Mechilta, which is the Medrash Halacha on Shemos. The Mechilta says an amazing thing. You know what caused Kriyas Yamsuf? Yeah, it's true. Moshe physically stretched out his hand. That got it going. And maybe Nachshon jumping in, that was also important. And the strong eastern wind, that helped. But you know who really caused Kriyas Yamsuf? Says the Medrash Mechilta, Kriyas Yamsuf took place in the Zchus of Avram Avinu. And it fits so beautifully with what we've learned. Because if Pesach is Avram Avinu, if Nisan is his man of Amunah, and Avram is the Ish Amunah, right? He's the person. Avram's the lonely man of faith, so to speak. The person who's trying to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a world that doesn't recognize or appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It only makes sense that the pinnacle, the height, the ultimate moment of the salvation from Mitzrayim should very much involve Avram Avinu. Kriyas Yamsuf says the Medrash Mechilta was B'zchus Avram Avinu. And I want to tell you a remez that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into my mind, because I like gematrias. Those of you who know me a little bit better know that I like gematrias. An amazing, what I think is really a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yam, the beauty was that the Yam became Yabasha. That what was once sea, a raging sea, what was death in front of them, became comfortable. It was dry land. All of their fears, all of that that panic disappeared, and they were able to cross. The yam was still the yam; the waters were raging on their sides, but it was the emergence of the abasha, which was the light, so to speak, that hope for Klal Yisrael. What's the gematria of the word yabasha? Who wants to do the math? 317. What's the gematria of Avram Avinu? The Svarim say 317. It was b'zchus Avram Avinu that Yam became Yabasha. It was only in the merit of Avram Avinu that Klal Yisrael were able to come out of Mitzrayim. But again, we have to ask ourselves, why Dafka Avram? Why Dafka Avram? Rav Yosef Engel was a great genius. He wrote a sefer called the Otzros Yosef. He gives three answers why he thinks Dafka Avram was the one who caused the seed to spread. I want to just say very pashut. I'm no Rav Yosef Engel, that's for sure. Very, very pashut. Why was it Avram? Why was it the schus, the merit of Avram Avinu, that caused the seed to split? And I want to share with you something I think is very, very beautiful. If you look in Sefer Yecheskel, how is Avram described? And I said a moment ago, the lonely man of faith, right? That's no joke. He was a very lonely man of faith. Avram Avinu was described in Sefer Yecheskel, Echad Haya Avram. Avram was one of a kind. Avram was one of a kind in the most beautiful of ways, and Avram was lonely in the saddest of ways. He was one of a kind. There was no one to talk to. At the beginning of Avram's search, he was a yachid. Echad Haya Avram. He was a very, very lonely individual. And that's why in Parshas Lech Lecha, he's referred to as Avram HaIvri. You remember what Rashi says on Avram HaIvri? Pashut Pshat, he's from Eivor HaNar. Okay, that's the name of his location. But the Medrash, Rav Yehuda says in the Medrash, you know why he's called Avram HaIvri? Because Kol HaOlam Kula Me'Eivor Echad, V'Hu Me'Eivor Echad. Because Avram placed himself opposite the entire universe. He stood opposite the world. Everyone was on one side of the river, so to speak, and he was on the other side of the Nahar. He separated himself from what was at that time the reality. And therefore, I think Avram comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As he sees Klal Yisrael, his children, the work of all of his efforts, all those years of Amunah, trying to instill the Yigadat Labincha, to try to build a Klal Yisrael that recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in Mitzrayim, they began that process of really recognizing Hashem, to hold on to that Jewish identity. And now here they are trapped on the same side of the river, so to speak, with who? With Mitzrayim. If there's any nation we're going to pick to represent the entire world, it was Mitzrayim. They were the world power. And Avram looks down from the heavens, and he sees Klal Yisrael standing on the same side of the river with the rest of the world. And he comes before the Kisei HaKavod and he says, Hashem, it can't be. Echad Haya Avram. Avram HaIvri. I was the person who knew the secret of Pesach, where we lock our doors from the outside world and we say, we're not part of that world. We're building a different thing internally. And I'm not going to allow Klal Yisrael to die on the same side of the river, so to speak, as the Umos HaOlam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to their taina, despite the fact that the angel said, but these ones do Avodah Zarah and these ones do Avodah Zarah. Why are the Jews any better? What makes you think the Jews are any better than these terrible Mitzrim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the claim of Avram Avinu, b'zchus Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu b'gematria yabasha. Avram Avinu, the sea had to get out of the way. Klal Yisrael had to be able to cross to the other side of the river. It was all b'zchus Avram Avinu. But the truth is, as Jews, we never say that it's only z'chus avos. Because z'chus avos means that we have to walk in the ways of the avos. We have to challenge ourselves every single day, like the Medrash says, when are you going to reach the level of the avos? Matay yagiu maisai lamasei avosai. When are we going to reach the levels of the avos? Or as Rav Simcha Bunim of Preshischa said, yagiu, negia, to touch. Can I even begin to reach in the direction? To try to be a little bit, something like the avos. And therefore I want to look just one last time at Kriyas Yamsuf. Klal Yisrael didn't just have the z'chus of Avram. Wasn't an abstract thing that Avram says, well, I stood on the other side of the river, so therefore they should stand on the other side of the river. Klal Yisrael became Avram Avinu. They lived like Avram Avinu. They had acquired the spiritual inheritance of Avram Avinu. Superficially, again, at the Yam was panic. There were four approaches, what to do. Should we commit suicide? Should we fight? Should we surrender? What should we do? Should we daven? HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu with a very simple message. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, matitzak elai. What are you davening about? It's not a time for davening. Matitzak elai, daber al b'nei Yisrael, tell b'nei Yisrael, vayisal. Just walk. Just walk towards the Abasha. Just walk in the ways, the path that Avram Avinu had paved. Just walk, move forward. And listen to the words of Rashi. I think it's so precise. I think after everything we learned together today, I think we'll understand the Rashi so beautifully. Ein lahem el elisa. All they have to do is travel, says Rashi. She'ein hayam omid b'fneiam. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing at all to worry about. They have it within them to do this. They can take that risk to cross to the other side, the same way that Avram stood. Echad Haya Avram. When he stood up to the world. Listen to Rashi. Kedai Zchus Avoseyem. It's fitting, it's enough. The merit of the Avos, Avram. The path that he paved for the Avos. Vahem. And their own merit. Va'amuna Sheha'aminu Bi. Hashem's message to Moshe Rabbeinu, a second before Kriyas Yamsuf, is take the Amunah of Avram Avinu, and take the Amunah that you have inside of yourself. Take the Zchus Avoseyem, the Haim, the Amunah Sheaminu Bi, that's enough combined, Lekro Lahem Hayam, to split for them the sea. If you have the Amunah of Avram Avinu, if you walk in the path of Avram Avinu, that's all you need to do. Rashi is so precise. Take Avram's Amunah, take your Amunah, and you have the pinnacle of Pesach. You have the Shabbos of Pesach. You have the ultimate moment of Amunah in the history of the Jewish people. Just raw Amunah. Amunah Pshuta. No davening even. Matitzaki Lai. Don't even daven, Hashem says. You don't even need your davening. You just need to close your eyes and have Amunah Pshuta in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and just Lisa. Just travel towards the sea. Hashem Yilachem Lachem V'atem Tacharish. The Kamarna Rebbe wrote a sefer on Pirkei Avos called Notzer Chesed. He tells a great maisa. He says the Baal Shem Tov one time was traveling through Eastern Europe. There's a famous river that runs through Eastern Europe. I think it's called the Dniester River. And the Baal Shem Tov found himself trapped by this river. He wanted to cross the river. And there was no ferry in sight, no one to take him across on a little boat. The Baal Shem Tov reached into his pocket, pulled out his handkerchief, and he unfolded it. He placed it down on the water. And the commander ever says the Baal Shem Tov stepped onto the handkerchief and, needless to say, floated right across the river on his handkerchief. Gevaldik. An unbelievable mice of the Baal Shem Tov. One of the Talmidim turned to the Baal Shem Tov when he saw this take place, or he heard this take place, and he says to the Baal Shem Tov, how did you do it? You must have used Shemos HaKadoshim. You must have used Kabbalistic names of God, which is a real thing. Believe me, the Baal Shem Tov could do it. There are people today who can do it. There's Kabbalah. There's theoretical Kabbalah that some people study. There's also a world called Kabbalah Masis, practical Kabbalah, which means you have the ability to harness the kochos, the energies of the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, spiritual energies that exist in the world, and to do things, to create reality. The Baal Shem Tov could do that. As far-fetched, as hard as it is for us to wrap our minds around some rabbi with a beard standing on a cloth driving across a body of water, right? It could happen. There are people in the world today who are osek in such things. Obviously, we have nothing to do with this, but it's a real thing. So this Talmud said to the Baal Shem Tov, he said, how did you do it? You must have used Shemos HaKadoshim, deep kavanas, right? Tfilos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, using again the kochos of the natural world in order to service you in this way. And the Baal Shem Tov stopped him, dead in his tracks. He said, how did I do it? Emunah Pshuta. Emunah Pshuta. No fancy kavanos, no magical names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emunah Pshuta. A Yid standing on one side of the river saying, I'm a descendant of Avram Avinu, I want to be on the other side of this river. Emunah Pshuta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klai Yisrael, Matitzak Elai, don't daven, no Shemos HaKadoshim, no fancy tfilos, Hashem Yilachem Lachem Va'atem Tacharish, and you don't have to say a word. Just deepen your Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you'll find yourself on the other side of this river. This is the whole Avodah of Pesach. And therefore, when it's all said and done, Klai Yisrael can sing Az Yashir, and they can declare the most beautiful, the most clear recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of Torah. Zeh Keli V'Anveyo. This is my God. Like Rashi says, they could point kiviyachol to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas B'Shalach. It was the schar for their Amunah that brought them to a Ruach HaKodesh, which inspired them to sing Az Yashir. And everything comes full circle. I want to just conclude by bringing it to our world. We're living in a world that also requires a lot of Amunah. We're living in a time period, we've spoken about it many times, the Ikfas of the Mashiach. It's the end of days. And the Gemara says that already long ago, Habakkuk, Hanavi, came along and he said, if I have to sum up the entirety of the Torah, al regalachas, so to speak, ba Habakkuk ve'amidan al achas. Habakkuk says, if you want the whole Torah, in one sentence, it's v'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. V'amei chulam tzadikim. Every single one of us has the ability to be a tzadik in that way. V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. If you want to live to make it to the end, if you want to be zochet to see Mashiach, if you want to label yourself as a true descendant of Avram Avinu, if you want to have a shaychus to Pesach, and to Kriyas Yamsuf, and to Chodesh Nisan, and to Geula, you have to be able to be the type of person who has a deep, deep Amunah in the Kodesh Baruch. And that's why the Yalkut Shimoni writes in Hosea, in Sefer Hosea, Ein ha-galios miskantos ella bischar emunah. Galus is going to come to an end. All galios are going to be gathered in in the merit of Emunah. I'll end with just one little maisa. Someone from England once traveled to visit the Chazon Ish. Came to the Chazon Ish, spent some time in the presence of the Chazon Ish, and he said, Rebbe, I'm heading back to England. I'm a long way from Bnei Brak. What should I tell the Jewish community in England? If you have one message, if I could bring one, a little matana, a little gift, a word of Torah from the Chazon Ish, if I can give them one message, what should I tell them to work on? Lima Torah, Tefillah, Chesed, Tznius, Lashon Hara. What should I tell? What is the Avoda? What are we living in? What's the message of our times? And the Chazon Ish looked at him and he said, tell the entire people of England. And by extension, spread the word. Teach the world. But starts with our own homes on the Pesach night. Teach the entire world that the challenge of the times which we're living is Vitzadik B'Menasso Yichya. Tell people if they have Emunah, then they're going to make it. And if they don't have Emunah, then they haven't even begun. They don't know about the Rosh. They don't know about Nisan. They don't know about Avraham Avinu. And they don't know about Geula. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha to attach ourselves deeply. Mishenichnas Nisan, Marvin Be'amunah. We've entered the month of Nisan. It's time to prepare ourselves for the Seder. And Mirtz Hashem, Mishenichnas, like the Sfasemes says, Mishenichnas, when you let it enter you, Mishenichnas Nisan, if you let Nisan enter you, if you let that Emunah enter us, Amir Tzashem will also be Zocha that there should be Marbim B'Geula in the month of Nisan with the Geula Shleima V'Amitas from Herabi Amenu Amen.